School every Sunday at 9 a.m. Bible study on Wednesday. Doors are open at 5 p.m. Class begin at 5:30 p.m. in person and Zoom. Tithes and offerings Benevolence may be put in the box as you enter the sanctuary before service and or as you exit the sanctuary after service. November 9th, Deacon Wives and Deaconess Annual Day observed during morning worship service. November 11th, Wood River Executive Board Member. November 12th, full quarter. Full quarter corporate prayer service at 5:30. November 30th, baptism if needed. Union Missionary Baptist Church, 2026 officers. All ministries that have officers are asked to please submit your 2026 officers to Mamie, that's the pastor secretary, no later than Wednesday, November 12th. Hard copies of the election of officers form are available in the church office in election. The election is also available online through the church website, www.unionmissionarybaptistchurch.org, under ministries. 2026, announcing clerk ministry. The announcing clerk ministry is preparing for the 2026 roster of participants announcement. Are read each Sunday morning at 10:10 a.m. Please contact Alicia Duffy if you are interested in being a member of the ministry. Sister Duffy may be reached at aaduffy@yahoo.com. Please provide your name, email, and phone number in your email. The Union Missionary Baptist Church Care Members. The purpose of the Union Missionary Baptist Church Care Members of our church is to strengthen relationships within our congregation by providing spiritual support, emotional support, encouragement, and supportive presence as needed by your congregation. Thank you, and I'll now turn it over to Deacon Eugene Collier.
Good morning. I just want to make one special announcement on a special day. First of all, let me acknowledge the DWD. This is the time people hear DWD. It's the Deacon's Wives and Deaconess. Amen. On their annual day, they look very beautiful this morning in their black and their pearls. So we honor them on today and every day. Next Sunday, November the 16th, we will be celebrating our celebrating the 8th pastoral anniversary of Dr. U.D. Williams and family with Union Missionary Baptist Church. Amen. Amen. Our guest speaker for that next Sunday will be John Horton, pastor of Macedonia Baptist Church in East St. Louis, Illinois. You all are invited to stay after service with us and fellowship and have dinner. We ask all those that can and will, please bring a dessert. If you are able to assist in this effort, please have your desserts over the educational centers before morning service. Our colors for next Sunday are shades of blue. Shades of blue. Now, if you don't have any shades of blue, we don't want you to stay home. You come on out anyway and help us celebrate our pastor's 8th anniversary. Amen. If anyone would like to give a personal card or a gift just to encourage the pastor and his family, we will have a table set up in the vestibule with a church replica box out there. You can put it in there. If you feel so inclined, you want to give it to him yourself, you can do so after service, okay? But we would like you to put it in that box as you enter the service on next Sunday. Look for an email later this week for additional information on this special day. This announcement comes from you in regards, on behalf of our anniversary committee, myself, Deacon Eugene Collier, and the UMBC Leeds Ministry. Amen. We now turn this back in the hands of the pastor. Pulpit.
Let the church say amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. Why? Because he's worthy to be praised. He is a mighty good God. Those in the parking lot, we welcome you. come and have a good time with us today in the Lord, because He is a mighty God. For this, what is the day that the Lord has made? I will rejoice and do what? And be glad in it. He is a good God. Let us read our scriptures for this morning. If you would stand, please. Let's start with Matthew 22, 37 through 40. King James Version says, number 37 says what? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, and with all thy mind. This is the first and the great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments and the prophet, love what? Love God and love people. Amen. While you're yet standing, let's do our read our Lord Prayer. Matthew 6, 9 through 13, King James Version says what? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. You may be seated. Now we'll have our choir come minister to us in time.
Amen. Let's put our hands together in praise of our God. Today we are honoring and recognizing our DWD deacon and deacons, deaconess and deacon wives ministry. Amen. You see the beautiful ladies there. Amen. They're going to come and lead in devotion today. And their lead, the ministry lead president, is Sister Daphne Gay. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Church family, how y'all doing today? Okay, we're going to sing a song, and I want y'all to join in with me, okay? And the song is, oh, okay.
Good morning, Union family. Our scripture reading this morning is coming from the second chapter of Philippians, beginning at the 5th verse through the 11th verse. And I am reading from the King James Version. That's Philippians chapter 2, beginning at the 5th verse. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I read Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. May the Lord bless those who read, hear, and obey his word. Shall we pray? Good morning, Father God. Father God, we just thank you for this day that you've given to us. We thank you, Father God, for waking us up this morning. We thank you, Father God, for giving us food on our tables and clothes on our back. We just thank you, Father God. We thank you for the love that you show us each and every day. In spite of us, you still love us, Father God. Father God, I ask that you continue to keep your arms wrapped around our church family and our community, Father, and even our nation, Father. We're in trying times right now, but we know as long as we keep our hands in your hands, our faith and trust in you, we know that all things are possible through you. Father God, I ask that on this day as we celebrate our deacons' wives and deaconess ministry, that you continue to guide and lead us and bless our leadership, Father God, our president, that she will guide us in the way that you would have her go. Father God, it is our honor to be standing on the foundation laid by so many women before us and our own deaconess emeritus, Mother Clarona Tucker. We just thank you for everybody, Father God, and ask that as we go through this service that you continue to, that we continue to lift you up and give you all the praise and glory. All this we ask in your name, in your mighty son's name, Jesus, and let us all say amen and amen.
All right, now it's time to sing the song. Okay. I want you guys to sing, join in with me as we sing Victory is Mine.
Stand at this time, but at this time we're going to have a dedicatory prayer for our DWD. Amen? Amen. Oh, gracious, kind, patient Father, first of all, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. We praise you for Jesus Christ, who is the chief cornerstone of the church. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Jesus, for dying on Calvary's cross and being the founder of the church. So, Lord, we come and we present one of our ministries to you, the DWD, and we ask that you just anoint each and every one of them. You anoint their leader and officers and their mission and vision, that they just continue on to do the work of the kingdom through what they have been assigned to do. Lord, allow us to be supportive and lift them up in their service, for they're not serving us, but they're serving you. And because they're serving you, we are being served. So, Lord, we just thank you. We lift them up, and we dedicate their ministry unto you and for your kingdom work. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. 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 Let's give God a hand clap of praise for our DW ministry.
I just want to acknowledge all of these ladies. This is my second go-around of being president of this ministry. It is truly our desire to become more part of our community, to let them know that Union is here, and we are going to change up some things and try to do things a little differently with the assistance and direction of our pastor. You will be hearing from us. We have some things that we would like to do that we want to include the women of Union in, because we need to come together inside so that we can go outside. And so I just want to acknowledge Sister Elodia Collier, Sister Catherine Hudson, Sister Bertha Norris, Sister Beverly Gay, and Sister Kathy Gay Wilson, and I'm Sister Daphne Gay. Thank you, and God bless you.
Good morning, church family. Sister Daphne asked us if we could do a selection for you all today, and we're being obedient and doing what is asked of us.
I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. Here I am. Here I stand. Lord, my life is in. myself, I give myself to you. My life is not my own, to you I belong. I give myself to you.
Father, we thank you for being God all by yourself. Thank you for your Son. You wrapped yourself in flesh, came down and to save us. So, Father, right now, we give ourselves unto you, Father, that you be able to use us, Father, to glorify you and to magnify you. We thank you, Father, for last night's rest. We thank you for the finger of your love. You touched us and raised us out of our sleep. Put us in this day, Father God. Help us, Holy God, to magnify your name. Help us, Father, to lean not to our own understanding, but in all our ways we acknowledge you, Father. We pray, Father God, for every church that assembled themselves together in your name today, Father. We pray, Holy God, that we be about your business everywhere we go. We magnify you. We tell someone about you, Jesus. Father, we pray for the sick, for the afflicted, and for the poor, Father God. We pray, Holy God, that by your stripes, you said, we're here, Father. So we speak to all sickness, Father, physically, mentally, that it be gone in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray for each family, Father God, that represented here today, mom, dad, children. Father, we pray, Holy God, that we teach them in all your ways, Father. We pray, Holy God, for the shepherd that you have put over this flock, Father God. Oh, Lord God, I ask you to make his home love, peace, joy, and happiness. But most of all, Father, we thank you for the divine word that will be brought to us today, Lord. Help us to open our hearts and our mind and receive that word, Father, that it will be able to lift us up where we may be torn down. Help us, Father, in the hour of weakness, Father. But, Father, we give you the glory. We give you the honor. And we give you the praise, Father. The hour is coming, Father, that no man know it, Father. We pray for this world, Lord Jesus, because we know that, Father, you're coming someday, Father. And, Lord God, help them to know you in the pardon of their sins, Father. We pray, Holy God, for the leaders of this world. We know you that you have everything in your hand, Father. But, Father God, when our day and hour is up, when we stand before the great white throne, Lord Jesus, when the Lamb books of life are open, Father, and when our books are open, Father, let it be said, when you look upon us, you see your Son, Jesus Christ. They have asked us to come on in and receive the joys of life. There's never no more sickness. It'll be howdy, howdy, never goodbye. No more pain. We speak and we ask in your holy name, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Pastor's coming now with the word of God.
If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. Come on now. Amen. I know it's starting to get a little chilly out there, but God is still worthy to be praised. Amen. Amen. Clap like God has done something for you as he has kept you this week. As I know I'm not the only one that the Lord has kept this week. Anybody been kept by the hand of God this week? It's all right. It's praise time. It's worship time. The Bible says, let everything that have breath praise ye the Lord. Let everything that have breath praise ye the Lord. Oh, you need to do a breath check then. Amen. Amen. Check and see if you're still breathing. You still breathing? Then you ought to give God a praise. Say thank you. Say hallelujah. Yes, 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 yes. We come to lift up the mighty name of Jesus on today. For truly this is the day that the Lord has made, and I shall rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Amen, amen. We're going to sing Meditation Anointing on today. We're going to sing that song as they prepare and get that song. If you have your Bibles, the New Testament, Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, we're going to look at those Beatitudes starting at verse 3. Amen, amen. As we prepare, we're going to ask the anointing of God to fall afresh on us, the anointing, the Beatitudes. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 3. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. We'll be reading through verse 12. King James Version is what I shall be reading from. If you can lift that up as you are turning and meditating and focusing in on our God, our sweet Savior, Jesus the Christ. We just simply ask the anointing to fall on us. If you can help me lift that up. Anointing.
Anointing.
Oh, yes, fall.
Fall on me.
Oh, anointing. says, let the power of the Holy Ghost, oh yes, fall, fall on me. Oh, anointing. If you have your Bibles, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 3 through 12. If you're able, if you like to stand, amen, you can stand. There's many reasons to stand. One reason I want you to stand is I don't want you to fall asleep on me. Amen. At least you're awake for these minute and a half while I read this. Amen. It's all right to laugh in the Lord. Amen. Amen. It's all right to have a ha-ha every now and then. Amen. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 5, verse 3 through 12. Amen. Amen. Somebody said my jokes are corny. I agree with them. Amen. They're really bad. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3 through 12. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3 to 12. Amen. Amen. King James Version is what I shall be reading from. If yours sounds a little bit different, that may be the reason why. Watch this, my brother. Watch this, my sister. The Bible says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called, what? The children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. But verse 12, the promise, the hallelujah of this passage says, rejoice. Somebody say rejoice. Or say it louder, rejoice. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. For great, oh hallelujah, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Amen. Before you take a seat, I just want to touch the pathway to true blessings. The pathway to true blessings. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of our God. Amen. Amen. You may hear me say every now and then, we want the blessings of God, but we don't want the correction of God. And I've talked about the correction. Now I want to talk about the blessing. You want to be blessed by God. The scripture, the Bible, which is our tool, gives us insight on how we can be blessed, how we can be happy with our relationship with God. I'm the first to tell you that I love it when the Lord blesses me. Amen. Amen. I like the good stuff from heaven that rains down. Y'all quiet. Do y'all like being blessed? Talk to your reverend. Amen. Amen. I love being blessed. And there's somebody here who loves the blessings of God. But we can't just say, I won't be blessed. We have to look at God's scripture and his word that teaches us how to be blessed and how to be happy in the Lord. Can I tell you something? You can't trust yourself. You can't trust yourself to know what God wants. You know why? Because we are not God. We are blemished. We have shortcomings. We have sin. We have missing the mark in us. And we need the guidance of God, which he has provided through two things. His Holy Spirit, which has anointed the Holy Word of God. Now, as I said, that foundation in the hustle and bustle of our daily lives, brothers and sisters, we often find ourselves running after and chasing, trying to catch up with happiness. And your happiness may be different than my happiness, but all of us want to be happy, 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 happy. Whatever happy is, maybe it's a certain car, maybe it's certain shoes, maybe it's this and that. Usually it's material things. Maybe somebody looking for a man, somebody looking for a woman. Oh, it got quiet. Help me, somebody. Looking for a promotion. You want to be blessed. You want to be happy. And because you want to be happy, you name certain things that you put on your list. This is the time of year where some, may not all, may make a Christmas list. And you list things that you want, amen, to be given on a certain day and time.
And many of us chase happiness not based upon our relationship with God and what makes God happy, but we make our own personal list. And if we have those things on our list, then we use those things as a measurement for our happiness. But I want to help you. I want to help you and I want to help me. If you want true fulfillment and success, you can't go by your personal list of happiness, because some things are in one minute and out the other. And we want to be happy a lot of times over social things, over what is the in crowd doing, or I saw so-and-so with this, or the grass is greener on the other side. And I used to say, I want my neighbor's grass until I saw my neighbor's bill. Yeah, cost some money to have that man come and spray that yard every now and then. Amen. So then I wasn't so happy about getting my grass green. Amen. I'd wait for it to rain with the cost of getting it green, like the neighbor. But here in this passage, Jesus offers us a different perspective on what it truly means to be blessed, what it truly means to be happy. Here in the Sermon on the Mount, he presents the Beatitudes, which are simply a series of teachings that turn worldly values upside down. We just read this, didn't we? The Beatitudes presents a radical view, as you read it, of what it means to live a life that's pleasing to God. And some of the things that are listed here on this list of happiness and what we can be blessed by are uncomfortable at times. They emphasize being humble. They emphasize mercy. They emphasize righteousness and a heart that must align with God's will. And promising that if we align ourselves with God's will, spiritual blessings and eternal rewards will come our way. Let's explore, my brother and sister, these Beatitudes, verses 3 through 12 of this chapter 5. Here, because the Beatitudes are rooted in a time period of oppression, political oppression, and economic hardship. Amen. Does that sound like 2025? November? Amen. And a religious expectation among the Jewish people on how God is doing things. But their perspective on what God is doing, the Jewish people, is not what God was doing through Christ. They had the story, but they did not have the complete story. And many here, as you look at this text in the background of this, we have to understand is that many were longing for the Messiah, longing for someone who would deliver them from the Roman rule and restore the kingdom of Israel, but they got hung up on how it would happen. God is speaking here in this text that the Messiah, the way to be broken from the Roman rule is Jesus Christ. But some just would not get it, that Jesus provides liberty, Jesus provides freedom. And then let me step away from this and come back into 2025. Some of us are looking for happiness and we're looking for certain things. And my brother and sister, it can only be found through your faith in Jesus Christ. You can try whatever you want to try. You can do whatever you want to do. You can go and talk to whoever you want to talk to. But I want to let you know, true happiness does not come unless it's through Jesus Christ. He knows everything you need. Yeah, go ahead and say about 3.5 things you need. There you go. Jesus already knew it before you said it. Jesus delivered this Sermon on the Mount, which includes these teachings called the Beatitudes. And he delivered this for you and me. He was speaking primarily to an audience of Jews who were familiar with the teachings of the Torah, the Pentateuch, the Hebrew Scriptures. And the people listening would have had a mix of ideas, a mix of the poor and the marginalized, the less thans, those who are not socially acceptable. And those disillusioned with religious leadership of the time, they didn't like who was in charge, such as Pharisees and Sadducees, who were different religious groups who had different perspectives and views. But these Beatitudes present a radical redefining of what it meant to be blessed and favored by God. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to say it again. It's not the shirt you wear that determines if you bless. Does not matter how shiny your shoes may be that determine if you bless. It does not matter what title you have on your job. Blessed is blessed. Any way you look at it, blessed is blessed. Can I get in your business? Did you wake up this morning? You blessed. Even if you didn't want it, did you have food to eat? You blessed. Bible said, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Take an in breath and take an out breath. Breathe in, breathe out. You're blessed. Any way you look at it, you're blessed. But look at this scripture in contrast to worldly views that are associated with being blessed with wealth and power and status. Jesus comes and he is radical and he says, blessed are poor in spirit. He has the audacity to come and say those who are meek and merciful and those who suffer for righteousness are blessed. Those who are having crisis and problems and quiet are blessed. His message is challenging, but if you look at it, it's prevailing the social and religious norms that it does not matter on your bling bling if you bless. Emphasizing the inner spiritual qualities over the external stuff you have. Yeah, don't matter. I'm going to praise God anyhow. I don't matter if you call me ugly, you're going to call me ugly anyhow. So I'm going to praise him anyhow. You can look over there where he really going through some stuff. No, I'm not going through anything. I'm praising the Lord. That's why my hands are moving and my feet are moving and I'm shouting thank you, because I'm going to give him praise on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And don't push me. I'll do it all over again on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. See, you done pushed me. It's Sunday. Thank you. He's worthy to be praised. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Devotion team is good. Praise team is good. Reading scripture is good. But I brought my own fire up in here. Up in here. He's been just that good. I don't know what you come to do, but I come to praise him. You're blessed. Any way you look at it. Do a pulse check. Go ahead, take them two fingers right there on that wrist. Somebody doesn't have a pulse. You're blessed. Any way you look at it. And this teaching here, I'm trying to get in this text here. Y'all help me now. Is this teaching here in this text has themes from the Old Testament, especially the Psalms and the prophets, which often highlight God's concern for humility. And those who are oppressed and those who are downtrodden and those who are faithful. That's who gets blessed. Those who are humble. Those who are oppressed because they follow in the Lord. And those who are faithful in spite of. By delivering this message on the mountainside, Jesus was simply giving imagery of Moses receiving the law on Mount Sinai and positioning himself as a new teacher and a new lawgiver. And what was his law? What was he teaching? Love. He was teaching love, church. He was teaching us to love because the root of all the commandments, the root of everything that God asks and requires of us is what? Love, care, charity, giving to God what is due to him. May we look at the scriptures? The first thing I want to look at is verse 3 through 5 here. And it says some things that may seem a little strange to us. Do you see in verse 3, poor? Blessed are poor. And they get the kingdom of God? Look at verse 4. Mourn. Those who are crying, those who are going through the mourning process, those who are down, they shall be what? Comforted? Look at 5. Meek, those who have humility, they shall inherit the earth. Well, with poor and mourn and meek, I don't know if I want to keep on walking and get the rest of that stuff. Because that doesn't line up with what the world says. The world says, tell them a piece of your mind. The world says, you don't have to wait for anything. You make it happen. If somebody tell you something, you got something to tell them back. That's what the world say. But Jesus is coming and saying, do things different. And the reason why I'm saying you should do things different, if you want to be blessed, you have to do it God's way. The first point is the nature. What is the true blessedness? True blessedness. The nature of true blessedness. The nature of true blessedness. I want to look at that here is because what is true blessings? We have to look, and Jesus begins with the blessed are the poor in spirit, those who mourn, and the meek. These things, these statements seem strange as they highlight conditions often viewed as undesirable, and many of us will say you're weak. Being poor in spirit signifies really strength, because you're recognizing when you're poor in spirit our spiritual neededness, that we need Lord and we need to depend on God. Well, maybe I'm the only one. Has anybody been through some stuff? If you've been through some stuff, anybody going through some stuff? Anybody been talked about? Anybody been left out? You don't even get on the bench. You're not even picked. Poor in spirit. That's what it is. But when you are poor in spirit, that means you are in a condition where you recognize, the elders will say, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I don't know where I would be. Meaning you are recognizing that you must depend on God. Poor in spirit means that you put your dependence and your reliance and your trust in God and God alone. Money runs out. Friends are few. Yeah, moths get a hold of clothes. But God is there in the morning, in the noonday, in the midnight hour, and any other time. Poor in spirit means that you have to recognize that you need and you must depend on God. The next thing that may seem a little strange to some of us is the mourn. And mourning means deep sorrow over sin and its effects in our lives. And when we realize that sin affects us and we have a repentant spirit and we mourn over sin, then it leads us to realize that we must repent of our sin. And if we don't mourn because of the sin in our lives, brothers and sisters, that may be why you can't see how blessed you really are. Because there's some stuff in your life, and I want them, you just don't want to let go. I got a honey-do list, and I got it last year, and my honey-do list was clean out the garage, and I got about 3/4 done, but church, can I tell you, just between you and me, there's some stuff in that garage I just didn't want to let go. It's just sitting there. I mean, the memories, you know, about 30, 40 pounds ago, amen, the memories of rewards in high school when I was all that in a bag of grits, amen. I just didn't want to let them. They need to be thrown out. Could take some pictures. Could do a different thing. But there's some stuff in my life, in my history, I just didn't want to let go. Should let it go. But for whatever reason, I don't want to let it go. I know I'm not the only one up in here. Up in here, up in here. You got to clean out your spiritual garage. But there's some things you just don't want to let go. There's some old love interest. You need to let it go. There's some old positions you need to let it go. There's some old statuses you need to let it go. There's some old isms you need to let it go. And let God come in your life and have a mourning spirit and have a sorrow over your sin and realize that there's some stuff in your life where you are missing the mark, and you got to have God and God alone. and that's Jesus. And when you realize you need Jesus, then that leads you to repentance. Meekness is the other thing that Jesus hits us with. He says meek, and that means humility. That means submission to God's will. I'm about to get in trouble here, but that's all right. I may already be in trouble. But if you look at this, submission to God's will is if you have a hard time following authority here on earth, you're going to have a hard time following God's authority. God says, thou shalt not do some things. But if nobody can tell you nothing, and you're going to do whatever you're going to do anyway, then you out of practice. Because when God comes and actually reveals his will, what he wants you to do, you don't know how to obey. It's simply things. It's you have to be in a habit and a lifestyle of obedience. Ooh-wee. Can I tell you this? God doesn't do things the way you want him to do things. Can I talk to me now. Can I whisper this in your ear? God don't do it how you want it. God does it. Watch this now. Open up your ear now. God does it how you need it. And if you are living a life of obedience and you're already practicing, you got some teachers, you're following your teachers. You got a boss, you're following your boss. I'm not talking about anything illegal. I'm just saying follow authority. If somebody in authoritative position say stop, what ought you do? Stop. Ain't got to give no lip. Do it. Amen. Amen. Because what I'm saying is the benefit, if you want to be blessed, then when God is speaking to you, you are in the position of stopping to authority and doing what authority says. So when God come along and he reveals his will to you, you already in the habit of saying, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. What you need? How can I help? Because in God's kingdom, he has called us to serve. So all of us have been called to serve. And if you're in the habit of serving, as God reveals his will in your life and you are humble and realize and understand, it's not about you. You all that. Yeah, you got that. But you are not God. All right. And if you are worshiping and being obedient to God, y'all to practice. Yeah, follow your pastor. Follow persons in authority because God is speaking to you. But if you don't know what humility is and following authority is, then you are holding up your blessings. I know this is normal, but I want to help somebody here. I know I'm going to get some amen, but I'm about to flip the other side too. This is why we should respect elders, even if you like them, you don't like them. Respect elders because that gets you in the practice of just understanding what obedience is. Amen? Amen. But the flip side is elders need to respect other people too. It go well, yeah. I know I wasn't going to get amens on that one. We got to respect each other, amen? Amen. Because as God is speaking to young people, God is speaking to old people too. And if old people just doing whatever they want to do, when God come along, then they going to keep on doing whatever they want to do. Ooh, it got quiet on me, Reverend. I'm going to leave it alone. I'm already in trouble. Can I give you a secret? Obedience does not have an age range. Obedience is not for 18 and under. Amen. You preaching, Reverend. Just think about that. Obedience does not have an age range. Obedience is not just for those 18 and under. It's not just for them kids. It's for 18 and over too. For 20, for 30, for 40, I'm going to hit you. For 50, for 60, for 70, you 80, 80, 90, 100, 110, 120. Obedience is for every. Because it said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Oh, I'm about to hit a rabbit. A rabbit just came. I'm about to chase this rabbit. And some of us want to criticize, quote unquote, young people in the church, and we tell them they won't do. But can I tell you something? They learn disobedience from you. I better quit it. I'm going to quit. Quit, Reverend. Bible said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And I want to recap. This refers to those who recognize their spiritual need and dependence on who? On God. The next thing is, blessed those who are mourned, for they shall be comforted. When you understand that sin gets in the way of your blessings and your relationship with God, God shall comfort you in so many ways that I don't have time to explain it. But you shall be comforted and kept by God's Holy Spirit. And this speaks to those who grieve over sin and suffering, and you can find comfort through God's presence. Sweet Holy Spirit, here in this place. It also says, the next thing recapping is, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The meek are gentle and gentle and gentle and gentle and gentle. Oh, I'm sorry. And humble. And they will receive God's promises. And brothers and sisters, we are called to cultivate a heart that acknowledges our spiritual poverty and mourns over sin and embraces humility. And in doing so, we open ourselves to God's kingdom, God's rule, God's comfort, and our inheritance to eternal life. Next thing. I looked at verse 6 through 9. I looked at 3, 5. Let's look at 6 through 9 here. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Yeah. We can't pick and choose when we're going to mind our own business. Verse 6 says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for their name's sake. I got a brother. And my brother got me. And we know some things about each other nobody else knows. We've covered for each other. Yeah. We've covered for each other in life. But when it comes to God's righteousness, wrong is wrong, and right is right. I got a sister. She take care of me, y'all. She got my back. I love her. But when right is right, wrong is wrong. So if I'm going to jump on somebody that ain't related to me, ain't my brother and sister, I'm going to jump on and hold accountable my brother. Getting quiet already because y'all know where I was going with that. I'm also going to jump on my friends. I'm going to jump on my family. I don't care who you are. Righteousness is righteousness. I'll say it all by myself. Wrong is wrong. Wrong is wrong. Wrong is wrong. Wrong is wrong. It don't matter who it is. Wrong is wrong. If it's your mama, wrong. Daddy, wrong. Especially if it's you. Wrong is wrong. You can't tell everybody else that they're wrong, and you are not looking at your wrong. Wrong is 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 wrong. Wrong ain't right. Jesus continues with, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, and the peacemakers. Watch this. Characteristics that define the lifestyle of those who are truly blessed. You don't pick and choose when righteousness is available or when you're going to practice it. The Bible says hunger and thirst for righteousness. This implies a deep longing for God's will, and not only what God wants, but for God's justice. What is right and wrong. In the worldly system, if you go through some courthouses, they have the person there with the scales and the blindfold. Right is supposed to be right. Justice is supposed to be justice. And hunger for a thirst and righteousness means a deep longing for God's will and God's justice. Being merciful reflects God's compassion and forgiveness. Purity of heart denotes sincerity and single-minded devotion to God and God alone. Now watch this. There's somebody in here. Well, I ain't going to say nothing. Cause I don't want to stir up no trouble. I don't want to do nothing. But peacemakers actively pursue reconciliation and harmony. These traits line up with the character of Christ and the values of God's kingdom. And sometimes things are in chaos because sin is not being addressed. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Summarizing it, that's what it says, right? For they shall be what? Filled. Those who deeply desire justice and moral integrity will be satisfied by God. I didn't say those who chase after personal perspectives and what they think is right, but those who deeply desire justice and moral integrity will be satisfied by God. Next thing says, blessed are, summarizing, looking back over it, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Showing compassion to others leads to receiving compassion for God. You can't just whoop on other folk. Amen. Show some compassion. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall what? See God. Those with sincere and undivided devotion to God's will experience God's presence. God is there at all times. God is there. And that last, when this section is blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. That means that those who seek after and actively pursue reconciliation and harmony and sin can cause chaos. So I want to encourage you to pursue righteousness. Give mercy, even when you don't think mercy is due. Maintain purity and promote peace in our interactions with others. And don't pick and choose when you do that. Everybody should receive God's grace. Everybody should receive God's mercy. As we look at these qualities, we reflect God's nature and become instruments for him, instruments of his grace to the world. Let us strive to live out these virtues. Before I go to my final point, has God brought you out of some stuff you know that you was wrong and he snatched you out? Oh, talk to me, somebody. They don't want to talk to me. Has God lifted you out of it? You know that you should be dead, sleeping in your grave, but God's grace snatched you out. You know that the road said turn right, but with your stiff-necked self, you turn left. But God brought you out anyhow. You ought to praise him and say, thank you. Thank you that when I know I was hard-headed, when I was stubborn, in spite of me, you gave me grace and you gave mercy. Just as God is giving you grace, you have to share grace and mercy with everybody else. I know you're ready to go, but the rewards of the blessed is found in 10, 11, and 12. You got some rewards there. For those who won't be blessed, it said, blessed 10. I'm at 10, y'all. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And persecution for righteousness' sake involves suffering. Watch this. Don't get this twisted. It means suffering for living according to God's standards. Sometimes we want to use scripture for our own convenience, knowing we stirring up stuff and doing stuff that's contrary to and does not align with God's way. But this clearly says, blessed are they which are persecuted for what? Righteousness' sake. Those who are suffering because they are living according to God's standard. Has anybody ever called you a Jesus freak? Go on anyhow. And lift them up anyhow. Look them in the face and say, Jesus, 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 Jesus. He's all right. Yes, he is. Anybody call you holier than thou? You all just look at me in the face and say, holy, 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 holy. Jesus, he's all right. Because God has been good and you're going to live for the Lord, but realize that this persecution is not for you just doing what you want to do and then folk talk about you or don't go along. The persecution is talking about for righteousness sake and those who endure insults and false accusations for doing the Lord's work. And despite facing opposition, they are promised a great reward in heaven. I want it. I want it. I want whatever God has for me. I want what God has for me. So I'm going to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. And persecution for righteousness' sake is for living according to God's standard. Then the next thing is, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And you look at those things and you look at that, and what that really means is, blessed are those where the kingdom of God, of kingdom of heaven, is those who suffer for doing what is right and are honored by God for doing what is right according to God. And blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of God. Now, as you look at verses 10, 11, and 12, 11, when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake and talk to you and talk about you because of your connection and your faith with God, because of your connection and your faith with God, if you want to be blessed, your blessing is found completely in verse 12. Rejoice and be happy because you're living with the Lord. And be happy because God has his hand on you. Not only are you supposed to rejoice, but you're supposed to be glad. And the Bible says exceeding glad. I know what rejoice means, because joy means being happy. Rejoice means I'm going to go back and be happy again off a situation that happened in the past. Can I just let you know something about me? I woke up this morning. That's in the past. I'm rejoicing because I think about he woke me up this morning. You know what? I had some bacon and egg this morning. That was in the past. But I'm praising him because he gave me food. In spite of what's going on in the world, my refrigerator is busting out. He's worthy. He's worthy. Because the Bible says, great is your reward in heaven, because so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Brothers and sisters, I'm through. But you go ahead and live for the Lord. And if you live for the Lord, you will have all the blessings of heaven waiting for you. And that blessing is eternal life. May the Lord God bless you real good. Because when I think about Jesus and how he came from heaven to earth, may the Lord God bless you real good. They stretched Jesus out and put nails in his hand. May the Lord God bless you real good. And he hung there as the atonement for my sins and your sins. And he bled and he died and he was placed in the tomb. May the Lord God bless you real good. But keep on reading. The Bible says that early Sunday morning, because of the resurrection power, may the Lord God bless you real good. In spite of your sin, in spite of your shortcomings, in spite of the things that have gone through your mind, God still loves you, because the Bible says, may the Lord God bless you real good. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting, 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 everlasting life. May the Lord God bless you real good. May the Lord God give you patience. May the Lord God give you peace. May the Lord God give you kindness. May the Lord God bless you real good. Here in this text, the Beatitudes offer us a roadmap to true blessedness. And they call for us to recognize our spiritual need and cultivate a Christ-like character. And persevere, my brothers and sisters, in the face of adversity. But you have to live for the Lord. You have to have your hand in God's hand. And embrace these teachings. And if you embrace these teachings, and if you align yourself with God's kingdom and experience God's blessings, then you realize that you are truly blessed. And no matter what is going on in your life, you got to praise. No matter what's going on in your life, you have a praise. Because you are truly blessed. And if you look at the Beatitudes, you can find that roadmap to true blessings. Can I tell you something? Don't apologize because you bless. Don't say sorry because you bless. There's folk in your life hating on you and being mad because you blessed and you kept because you got your hand in God's hand. Don't apologize because of God's favor. Don't apologize because God is smiling upon you, because that comes along with having righteous relationship with God. But we have to have righteous relationship with God through Christ Jesus. My brothers and sisters, if there's one right now, I want to give you an invitation to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Is there one? You do not have Jesus Christ as your Lord. You do not have Jesus Christ as your Savior. Lord means your King. You're under His authority. Savior means He's died for your sins. And if you believe in that, you can accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Is there one on today that would like to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior? Is there one? Is there one who has not connected with a body of believers, not connected with the church? You'd like to connect with this body of believers. You may come, my brother. You may come, my sister. Is there one? All you have to do is raise your hand. All you have to do is come now. Whatever is your pleasure. Is there one, my brother? Is there one, my sister? Give your life to Jesus. Then you'll be a candidate for baptism. Is there one, my brother and sister? You're not connected with the church, but you would like to be connected with this church. You'd like to join this fellowship. Is there one? Connect with this fellowship. Is there one, my brother? Is there one, my sister? You raise your hand, you come down. Is there one, my brother? Is there one, my sister? Is there one, my brother? Is there one, my sister? The invitation is for you to come. Is there one? Is there one, my brother? Come by letter, come by first experience. Is there one? Truly blessed is living a life aligned with God. Is there one? Amen. Will you please stand? We see that number still there is room in the kingdom of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we say thank you. We give your name glory, honor, and praise. Thank you for your word. Give us the true roadmap to be truly blessed in your life. Lord, you have given us Jesus, which gives us the power to live righteously before you. Now may the grace of God, sweet communion of his Holy Spirit, rest and abide with each and every one of us. Let us say all together, amen. 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 You are dismissed. To God be glory.